Welcome to the Builder's Ladder with Marty Amos and Owen Chambers, the show for residential building company owners and general contractors wanting to make more money and buy back your time and build a business worth owning. We share what's working right now for the top 5% of residential building company owners and general contractors so you can implement it into your business. You either win me or win.
Win, 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 win. Yeah. Fuck everything else. Win. Hello, welcome. It's Owen again from The Professional Builder, and I'm joined with Vanessa Lambert from Hazard Co. How are you, Vanessa?
I'm very well, thanks, Owen. Thanks for having me today.
It's great to have you here. We've actually played hot potato trying to find this time for a couple of weeks now. We've finally managed to make it work. You guys have been flat out. We've been flat out. What's been going on in your world recently?
Oh, there's just so much happening. I think everyone, it's kind of that time of year where everyone's come back from being off at Christmas and they're getting into action mode. It's like, getting stuff done. And that's what we love to hear when it comes to our members. It's nothing better than hearing that our members are busy building houses. So makes us busy, which is good.
Yep. Snap. That's exactly the same. It's we've got members around New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the US, UK. And when Canada and the US are in like winter, it's summer in New Zealand, and they're building towards a deadline of Christmas, New Year. And when it's, summer in the US and Canada, they're building towards a similar deadline and going on vacation. So it's always busy all the time, I hear. But we are here today to discuss kind of like what goes on behind the scenes at Hazard Co., like how it can benefit builders and make sure that they can have their stuff tidied away, because getting health and safety wrong is a expensive nightmare that, you know, is difficult to solve once the horse is bolted. So do you mind giving us a little bit of a rundown, like what Hazard Co. is, how it's used, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, cool. I'll start with a little bit of a history lesson. So Hazard Co. originated in New Zealand. We are 18 years this year. Initially, we were not a digital technology. So we were actually a training provider for health and safety. And then we went into basically flip cards for construction. So the idea and premise behind Hazard Co. and why it was born is two tradies who didn't know what they were doing and really were confused by health and safety. So they said there's got to be a better way to communicate on site. There's got to be a better way to identify risks and hazards. And so they came up with flip cards, which are actually really cool. And that went really well. Obviously, we're still here. About 5 years ago, we decided to digitize and created the solution that we have now. We do still have some physical product in New Zealand, but in Australia, we're fully digital only. Mm-hmm. And we are currently looking to expand into the UK as well. So there are our three sort of geographies. In Australia, we are built purely for residential construction. So we're a very niche health and safety system, purpose built for simplicity. The reason is because there isn't a lot going on in residential construction. So it's a pretty common thing to speak to a builder or a tradie and go, what are you doing for health and safety? And they go, nothing. Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of concerning, but also I get it. Like, a bit of history on me. I was in home building before I worked for Hazard Co. and have worked for some of the largest builders in Australia. But I also co-own an electrical contracting business with my sparky husband. So I kind of get it from both spectrums, you know, particularly in that small to medium sized business space. It's really stressful running your own business, particularly a trade business. There's just a lot going on. And sometimes health and safety is kind of like, it's the least sexy, it's the last thing on the list, and you don't really think about it until you need it, which is generally when it's too late. So, effective simplicity is what Hazard Co. is all about. A solution that is, you know, cost-effective, time-effective, and crosses and dots the T's and I's, as well as educating and promoting good safety culture.
Yeah, well, and that's what's, I mean, let's be real, like, smooth is fast and slow is smooth. Like, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Like, getting this stuff tied away with a good process and a good, you know, solution like you guys might slow you down, but it actually speeds you up in the long run, because then it's like really smooth and really clean sites and like proper allocation of like how it should be set up. And then you're able to actually move faster when you want to scale. You want to do multiple sites. You want to train your team on like how to operate them effectively and properly. And like, that's when this stuff really kicks into its own. Otherwise, you're going backwards. It's like insurance, not for sale when you need it. It's a nightmare to sort it out. And you can't really go back and put the health and safety measures in if something, shit hits the fan, heaven forbid. So yeah, totally subscribe to it. So ideally, like, what kind of person should be using HazardCo? Like, describe for me like an ideal kind of like use case for it.
Yeah, sure. So basically, our ideal customer base is small to medium-sized businesses. We have sort of two buckets. We have our trade bucket and then we have our builder bucket. And the reason that they're sort of split is there's a slight difference in discrepancy of what is required as a builder, usually a little bit more responsibility than the trade. And so there's extra features built into that sort of membership base. But essentially, anyone in residential construction can use the HazardCo system, and they can use it to varying degrees. In a brief nutshell, there are two parts. There's the actual app, which is a mobile application that's used on site in real time. And then there's what we call the hub, which is a cloud-based platform, which basically speaks to the app. So all of the documentation that's getting done on site is stored up in the cloud. And that's sort of designed for, company admins, someone who's running the office to oversee projects and be able to see what's happening in real time on site. So they do talk to each other, but they've got very different reasons for being. Along, you might be able to see some of the signage sitting behind me. Alongside that, so from a builder's perspective, one of the things that is required on all building sites is, safety signage. So when they create a project with HazardCo, they get the signage that they allocate, two different types of signs. And on those signs are unique QR codes that are site-specific to that project. Unlocking that, all trades who are interacting with the QR code then have full access to all the safety documentation required for that site, as well as the ability to proactively do their own reporting through the builder's system. So it kind of just allows for a really seamless operation for communication, collaboration, and cooperation, which is kind of what we call the three C's in health and safety,
Nice.
kind of the backbone of what you need to do to make sure everyone's on top of it.
So most of our members are normally like super busy. Like, they've come to us to try and buy some, claw some time back, reclaim some sanity of it often, and improve kind of like the margins on projects and the profitability that they're able to, like, draw out of the business as well. Walk us through kind of like how using HazardCo is going to save people time and ideally also like improve some margins. Like, where do you normally see people saving time using the app?
I'll go for a builder case study because I feel like that's probably where most of your listeners will be sitting anyway. As I mentioned before, obviously, when you start a project, you have certain obligations that you need to meet as the PCBU in charge of that site. And one of those things is called a site-specific safety plan. It has 100 different names across different states and territories, but I'll use that generic term. When you create a project with HazardCo, you can create a site-specific safety plan in less than 10 minutes. If you were doing that by hand and using like a template or physically writing one out, you're probably looking at somewhere between 40 minutes and 3 hours, depending on how skilled you are at creating one of those. And that is a mandatory piece of documentation in all states and territory once you hit a certain contractual threshold. So just that alone, depending on how many builds you're doing, you can already do the math on how many hours you're saving by creating one of those. The second
I mean,
part,
that's 60 minutes times by, say, so an hour times by 10 projects a year. That's, like 10 hours or, 10 projects at a time. Like, yeah, we're saving out like potentially a working day every quarter at least, sort of thing. So that's a long weekend that you didn't used to have each quarter.
and it's not just the creation of it, it's the sharing of the information that sits in it. So often what happens is some people might be pretty good at creating one or having one that they're using. Where they fall over is that nobody sees it. So it's, in a folder in the Portaloo, collecting dust in the top of the ute. It's somewhere, but it's nowhere. So with the HazardCo system, I guess the beauty of it is it's quick and easy to create one. You need zero to no health and safety knowledge at all. It's all guided content. It's all legislatively checked by our health and safety professionals who are, been in the industry for more than 20 years apiece. And then you can seamlessly share it with everybody who's on site, both prior to them arriving and once they're on site, which really just opens up those lines of communication.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, keeping everyone on the same page is like half the battle, right? Otherwise, the alternative is they're going to be calling your mobile. And I know that the other challenge that a lot of our guys have is like their mobile might be dead by 2:30 in the afternoon because they've been on it for, all
Half a day.
morning already. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's huge. Nice. Where does it kind of all live then? Like, is it all on the app and you can then export it and download it? Or like, how does it work at that point?
Yeah, sure. So, a bit of both. You do have parts of it that are constantly on the app that live through the QR code, but then you also have it embedded in the control center in the hub. So that's really the storage solution. So you do need to keep all your health and safety records for an extended period of time. It does vary state by state, but let's go with 5 years as bare minimum, which means you'll always have that data accessible, and it basically just works with a download. So you press a button and it downloads whatever you need to do. There's a certain number of reporting that we also export into like CSV files. For example, if you had a spot visit by the regulator and they wanted to see every person who had been inducted on that project for the life of the project, it's a click of a button and it's there.
Nice. And what about like logins and stuff? Like, is this something that I can delegate some of the responsibility to the apprentice or, you know, the foreman or the safety manager? Like, how does it work in terms of like who can use it?
Yeah, absolutely everyone can use it. So the QR code unlocks the accessibility, whether they're full-time employed by you or a subcontractor, they'll have access to all the reporting templates. One of the biggest pain points that we find with builders is safe work method statements, so SWIMs, the ability to collect them off trades who are actively working on site. That's generally speaking just for 18 or 19 activities which are deemed high-risk construction work. The biggest one being working at height. So you can pretty much never build a house without needing a SWIMs, at least one of them, and they're quite painful. So a lot of people have nightmares about them. They either don't know how to write them. They don't know what they don't know, really. They don't even know they should have one, which is a whole other ball game. So having that accessible, template solution that's specific to all the trades who are actually working on a residential build site means, it just takes that stress away from both parties and they can collaborate together. So, trade can rock up on site, choose a template, edit it the way they see fit, send it back. Builder has instant access to that SWIMs and can review it and say, I like it, I don't like it, you're missing this, or it's good to go, let's move on.
Yeah, so good. So you were telling me a story before around like a business
Cowboys?
owner. Yeah.
Cowboy stories? The Cowboys.
Love a horror story, love a disaster, love a thriller. So, you know, please tell me more.
So this is a really good one. I think it's a perfect example of the struggle is real in the building game because there's, like I said, so much things that you're trying to achieve, and the end game is obviously building a quality product for your customer, doing it quickly, and getting paid. Let's face it, that's what we're in it for. However, to get there, you generally need some good processes and you need to have good people. And this is where it all starts to come undone because majority of our members are small to medium-sized businesses. They're subcontracting out pretty much 80 to 100% of all their physical work on site. So we had a member just before Christmas. We'd been in discussions sort of backwards and forwards. He was struggling with his site supervisor who happened to be fully contracted out. So the member owns a business, a franchise actually, and is not a registered builder. So he contracts to a registered builder who then forms his site supervisor role. And this particular site supervisor was giving him a decent amount of grief when it came to safety, just didn't want to do what he had set out, refused to abide by any form of rule. And his excuse was, I'm experienced, just trust me, I know what I'm doing, kind of thing. So he did, because obviously it's a struggle with labor shortages and things like that. He thought, okay, I'll just let it slide until his project manager showed up on a site. It was a two-story build, and he walked in the door and literally dropped everything that was in his hand because of what he saw. He freaked out. He was just like, I can't believe what's sitting in front of me. He started taking photos and he actually took video footage, like did a 360 of the area and sent it back to the owner and said, I think we have a serious problem here and I don't know what to do about it. So the member called the advisory line at the same time, emailed through the footage and the photos and said, this is the situation. It actually did come across my desk because I had been speaking to that member previously and I took one look at the photos and said, you're not overreacting. That's a massive safety risk. There was a massive stairway void that was not protected, and literally like a 3 meter drop. And that was just one of the things. I mean, as you spin around the room, it just got worse and worse. And we literally just said, you have to shut it down until you get XYZ in place and nobody can access this site. So he went off and he did everything that we told him to do. And then it was Christmas and we sort of lost touch with him. And last week I was at a member conference and he sought me out in the crowd and gave me a big hug. And he was like, "Hey, Vanessa, good news. I got rid of the site supervisor." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Sort of not expecting it because he had him for so long. I thought he was just going to keep rolling with punches. But he turned around and he said, "No, I think that last incident was like the last straw. And I realized just how risky it is having him in my business. And not just the fact that someone could have severely hurt themselves, in fact died, but just how that could have potentially sunk my entire operation."
100%.
So yeah, he made the decision to pull the pin and I was super proud of him. He looked so happy. He was just so relieved. I think that whole situation was gone. He's recontracted out to someone else who is on board, who, thinks safety first, and it's all happy days. So I think sometimes it's really hard to make those decisions. And, often members will come to us with, I don't feel comfortable doing it, or I don't want to tell him or tell her not to do this or that because I'm worried that, they're a good ex and I don't want to lose them. But the end game is always the same. It either ends one of two ways. They don't do anything about it, and eventually their luck runs out and someone ends up hurt, or they just decide that it's not working out and they find a better option.
I can appreciate that it's like a tough decision to move on from a long-standing, potentially loyal and hardworking team member in a, relatively tougher labor market than other industries. But for the risk and liability that we absorb, it's just so not worth playing around with these risks. Like we're talking like take out of it the fact that it's often people's lives when it comes to health and safety. And it's quite terrifying to think about some of the horrible things that can happen on that side of things. Just genuinely, if you were looking at it from a completely brutal profit perspective, the gain in margin that you're going to have by having, like a old school, efficient, great project manager or, site manager or whatever, versus like the potential downside of that whole job being written off and losing money on it. Like quite often in the building game, we want to avoid loss rather than maximize profit. Like we want to avoid going negative or down to like single digit margins on our jobs versus going from 20 to 21%. Like, yes, we do, obviously, but avoiding risk and avoiding downside is, far more important. And that's like table stakes. And that's not going to happen if you've got an absolute horrible cock up on site when it comes to health and safety.
I mean, what's really interesting is that we always go to the worst case scenario, right? As soon as we think health and safety, we think person falls from a roof, dies, worst case scenario. What most people don't consider is the smaller injuries. So, our number one reportable incident in Hazeco is lacerations. So someone who has cut themselves on site, other things can be puncture wounds from like nail guns, common one, particularly with the apprentices. You don't really think of those, right? You go, oh yeah, whatever. Like we put a band-aid on it, we moved on. What actually happens is some of those smaller injuries can actually cause more cost to your business overall than if you did have one of those larger incidents, because the smaller incidents, the sprains, the strains, the lacerations, on average can take someone out of work for 55 days. That's the work cover. When you look at work cover stats, minor injuries, 55 days out of work. Now, that doesn't sound like that bad, but when you consider a project length, 55 days is an awful lot of time to have someone out of action, and what the cost, domino effect that comes into it. Not to mention all the insurance premiums and things that are going to go up because that person is now claiming against you for, risk occurring on site. So we always go to worst case, and definitely worst case is worst case. Nobody wants to be there. But I think sometimes thinking about the smaller ones and how, simple processes to avoid those things like toolbox talks and conversations, just basic conversations and communication, how much of a difference that makes to your overall productivity and quality. Like quality comes from less
Totally.
stuff ups. Less stuff ups comes from good safety, good overall visibility
Planning.
on what's happening.
Totally. So, okay, cool. So I want to pull on that thread a little bit. You said like, just a couple of the super easy basics. And obviously, like in a perfect world, people are going to use Hazeco and get set up and have a dial-in system. But let's say somebody's listening to this and they're just like, cool, sounds good. I can probably set up Hazeco like next week or something. But what can I do tomorrow? Like, what would be just like the basic first five steps that you would recommend people just like tighten up their health and safety?
Yeah, cool. I would say communication is key. So if you're not already, you know, if you don't have a toolbox meeting set up or some form of team meeting, don't care what you call it. I mean, we call it a toolbox, but really in every other industry, it'd be very strange to not have a team meeting once a week. But for some reason in the trade space, it's like, eh. It's so simple and short and concise. We're not talking a half hour. We're not talking an hour. We're talking 5 minutes. What do I need to know today? What is important? What's changed on site? Is there anything I shouldn't be touching? You know, just basic conversation. It can be done physically. It can be done over the phone. It can be done WhatsApp, whatever your main communication style is, whatever gets the most interaction. Second is interaction. So no point communicating if it's a one-way communication. You need to make sure that you've got feedback from both parties. And when I say feedback, I mean you listen to what they have to say and then try and come to some form of...
You're all on the same page. Like
you're on the same page. You can negotiate. You know, you can, if you're not quite happy with what's happening and you can't give them everything they want, then come to some sort of middle ground where both parties are happy. Because the more you do that, that's what changes the trust and that's what changes the safety culture. Because one of the biggest issues that you'll have on site is people not speaking up and doing something because they're too afraid to ask a question.
Yeah.
And then they end up hurting themselves. And so it's really about trying to create that open door policy, that honesty is the best policy. If you do stuff something up on site, putting your hand up and saying, I stuffed that up, like royally, and knowing that that's okay. Like everybody makes mistakes, but if we don't learn from them, then we can't improve them. So I think communication is a simple thing. You don't need any tools to do it except for your mouth or your fingers if you're going to type it out, and your ears, because obviously it's no good speaking if nobody's listening. So communication, number one tip. Your second one, really easy to do in the HazardCo app, but you could probably create your own checklist if you were doing it outside of it. And it's what we call a site review or a safety walk. It's essentially going to site once a week and doing a snapshot in time of what's going on around you and is it being done correctly. So looking at all of your controls, so I'll use scaffold as a good example. Majority of people walking onto a building site would have no idea if the scaffold is actually compliant. They look at it, go, yeah, they might shake it. Look, seems good enough, I'll step on it. With the HazardCo app, basically it tells you all of the things that should be in place for a good scaffold installation, which means over time, when you start doing this, you will get to the point where you do walk on site and you can pick something straight up. You can go, ooh, tow rail's missing. And so what happens is this process of weekly sort of safety walks increases your knowledge subconsciously and improves your safety long term. So we've got a really cool stat that says that members who do regular safety site reviews or safety walks are 3.4 times safer. So whether you're using your own checklist or whether you're using the guided content in HazardCo, it's probably I always say when I'm training new members, if you forget everything else I've just told you, remember this. Remember this. You train your site supervisors to use it. We'll train them for you.
Exactly.
Just get them using
it's such
it.
I mean, like, so that's what we talk about all the time. You know, like you want to build process, and process should be repeatable, replicable, right? And if it's then also something that repeats and recurs, then it's something that we can delegate and train others to do as well. So, you know, like I feel like a lot of people at certain stages of the builder's ladder, usually around that sort of like, you know, million and a half mark, like to hold on to too much stuff. And that often leads them to run up against a bit of a glass ceiling in terms of their business growth. And it's at those points where they need to start delegating out. But it's tough to delegate when you don't have a system and process. And, you know, what you just walked us through is like a perfect example of why you should be delegate, like how you delegate to the site manager or the foreman or, you know, honestly, it sounds like kind of almost anybody could be doing this.
Anybody. Right? Yeah, anybody can pick it up. And, you know, we've got members who have started doing like round robins on the toolbox talk. So they pick up the app that is literally like hot potato, just throw the phone at whoever catches it gets to run the meeting today. I think the more you can rotate and have more people involved in the process, the better outcome you'll get because you get the buy-in.
100%, because community is usually based on share. Like community informs culture and culture comes from shared experiences. So having everybody experience what it's like to run a toolbox talk, what it's like to do the safety walkthrough and the site review, having everybody experience those is going to build more of a community of like, we're all on the site together. And then it's going to have that culture of like actually taking care of everybody's health and safety and it not being a, a mountain out of a molehill. It's just like how we do stuff here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
And I think
absolutely.
I won't go to five because I'll be here all day. But the third one,
Yeah.
we'll go third, is leading by example. So you can't
Sure.
expect everybody else to do it if you're not doing it yourself. Some of the most successful businesses are successful because they have a process and they stick to it. And if you don't stick to it, you're no longer working for them. And that might sound harsh, but the reality is if you want to be successful, sometimes you've got to draw a line in the sand, and it's you've got to have a set of values, you've got to have a mission, and you've got to stick to it. And that's something that I'm really passionate about, is, sticking to your values.
Yeah, damn, I couldn't agree more. It's like you don't get in business what you deserve, you get what you tolerate. So if you tolerate, I mean, this could apply for anything, not just health and safety. If you tolerate getting like shitty leads, you're going to continue to get them. If you tolerate having people price check you, you're going to continue to get that. If you tolerate having, the apprentice not sign in and sign out at the end of the day, you're going to continue to get that. If you tolerate not using the app or not, actually setting the sites up correctly, you're just going to continue that. So you've got to really set your standard and raise that standard. And that's your job as like a business owner, is it's like, we talk about the traffic light system. So, like, is this red, orange, or green? Is it like totally sucking and needs to just be thrown out? Is it fine for now, or is it absolutely rocking and rolling? You could go away on holiday and it would continue to operate. We want to continue to raise the standard. So even all your greens go back to oranges, and then eventually have to level up to go back to green. And then you raise your standard again and they go back to orange and go back to green. It sounds like the system that you've got here can like scale with the growth as you go from like, 1 million, 2, 4.5, 12, all the way sort of up. And that you've got a
Yeah.
great system here that can scale with the sites, with the quality of humans, with the kind of like D all of the above.
100%. I think that's one of our most unique selling points, alongside the guided content and obviously the people that sit behind the digital technology, is the fact that you could be a one-man band, or you can be, a franchise builder building 200 houses a year, and the system still works.
Yeah, love it. So good. All right. So lead by example, inspect what you expect, hold high standards, and you get what you tolerate, not what you deserve. Do the site review and the safety walkthrough. People that do this every week are 3.4 times safer. Like, basically, let's get home, let's be home safe, and you're going to be there 3.5 times
Yeah.
more
And not
successfully.
only that, you're going to
That's
get
true.
improved quality, because it's essentially a quality check. So you're
Too right.
getting improved quality on the build, you're getting a quicker build, and you're getting a safer build. Can't see any downsides.
Amen. All right, I love it. And then the last one was that
Hallelujah.
communication. Basically, like do the toolbox talk, toolbox meeting at least weekly. We do a daily stand up with all of our daily rhythms and things like that with our members, and that should almost go daily and make sure that everybody is totally across it. Communication, leads to basically everyone being on the same page, pulling in the right direction. So
100%. I mean, if you can get it to the more frequently you do it, the better it is. And I think there was an external study, it wasn't a Hasco one, where they looked at businesses, construction businesses running toolboxes at different frequencies. And basically the guys who ran more frequent toolboxes were 64% safer. So it's again another massive stat, and it doesn't take long. We're not talking massive, time input here, a couple of minutes a day.
It's good rhythm, it's good routine. Like, it tightens the feedback loop. So quite often, like, and this can apply for a bunch of stuff in life. Like, you go, oh, when can I have that by? And people just like default set meetings at 60 minutes, and they'll just default be like, oh, I'll get that to you next week, But if we can tighten that feedback loop and go like, daily, then you're going to progress stuff and hold higher standards and be way more productive on site anyway. So our guys will do the daily stand up, and typically you're asking, like a minimum of three questions. Did you achieve today what you said you're going to do? What are you doing tomorrow? And is there anything standing in your way of doing it? Right. So if you ask that at the end of every day with everybody, it's normally like at 4:57 or at a time that everybody remembers. It's not like at 5 o'clock and it's like, oh, it's 5:02. It's like, no, it happens at 4:57 or 5:03 every day. It's very specific. So it happens, and it's a daily stand up in a circle. It's like open accountability and open transparency. And if somebody's going to stand up day in, day out and go like, I said I was going to do X, didn't do it. Like, at some point, you're either going to up your game or opt out of being useless at your job, right? And that's all we want to do with some of the health and safety stuff as well. We want to make it like transparently accountable of it being like front and center so that people are like opting into it and not wanting to like look bad at their job day in, day out, and closing that feedback loop so that it's really tight. It's daily rather than like weekly or monthly or quarterly or annually. You know, same thing with your numbers. If you only inspect your finances when the accountant sends them through at the end of each year, you're like,
Too
oh,
late.
good. And we probably don't need to do finances daily, but you do need to be looking at, unless you're in a real cash crunch, but you do need to be looking at them frequently. And the tighter the feedback loop, the better the result. I can almost guarantee it. And that goes for health and safety here as well. So,
Absolutely. It's not rocket science. In fact, the more simple you make it, the more successful you'll be.
preaching to the choir. Love it. Fantastic. Vanessa, this has been gold. You've been super helpful. I love those stats. 3.5 times more safer by doing a site review and 64% safer by improving your communication. Tell me, you've given us some great little jot points to go and execute right away, but where can people go if they want to learn more about Hazard Co or sign up or talk to you or whatever?
Yep, absolutely. We do have an awesome website. It's www.hazardco.com. You can sign up for a free trial. So if you want to have a play with the system and see if it's for you, absolutely, there's no obligation. You can give us a call, 1-800-954-702. That's an Australian number. So if you're listening outside of Australia, go to the website. It will hook you up with the correct number if you're in New Zealand. And our team are always happy to listen. So give us a call if you're unsure if you fit the mold or if you've got a bit of a unique situation and not sure if the system's going to be fit. We do have services outside of the digital solution as well. So we can tailor make certain packages if you're doing something that's slightly off the kilter.
Nice. Love it. Love it so much. Awesome. Vanessa, thank you so much for your time. You're a weapon. I appreciate
Oh,
you jumping on with
yay,
us.
I've never been called a weapon. That's exciting, Owen. I'm going to keep that. That's going on LinkedIn.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I need to update my LinkedIn as well. I'm part of a social football league and it's on an app and people leave reviews just like an Uber. You know, they five star this, that. I got my best review ever. Ferocious shot. If you're in, we'll leave you with stingy hands if you're in goal. And I was thinking of screenshotting that and putting it on my LinkedIn as well. But
Love
I don't know if that would resonate with being part of the professional builder or not.
it.
But who knows?
I'm
I
going to
say,
change. It's going to be Vanessa the Weapon Lambert. Find me. And yeah, connect. I'm more than happy to connect on LinkedIn as well. If anyone wants to connect, I'm more than happy to chat.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Vanessa. It's been a blast.
Excellent. Thanks for
Cool.
having me, Owen.
That's it for today's episode. Tune in every week if you want insights into what's working right now for the top 5% of residential building company owners and general contractors. There's 4 ways we can help you. 1, join our free Facebook group for tips, processes, best practice. 2, go to www.theprofessionalbuilder.com to download some resources, look at case studies, see what's possible for your business. 3, schedule a one-on-one chat. We'll have a 15-minute chat, see what we can do to help take your business to the next level. No obligation, give you plenty of tips. And lastly, get a copy of the new book that's come out to help make your business more profitable. Cheers.